Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and this week we'll be doing a postscript on the book of Revelation. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I want to thank each one of you who've taken the time to leave a review on iTunes or to send me an email. I really appreciate the encouragement. I'm amazed, humbled, and honored by the difference this podcast has made in so many lives. If this podcast has meant something to you, I always love to hear from you, either through iTunes or by sending an email to me at darrenhibbs.com. We just finished Revelation last week, and I want to encourage you to commit to doing something special, and I believe life-changing. Many people today feel the need to study the Bible, and they get bogged down by things they don't understand, and many quit. Instead, I want to encourage you to begin reading the Bible. Put away the Bibles with lots of study notes and get a Bible with nothing but God's Word in it. You'll be amazed at how many of your questions get answered if you simply read a book of the Bible multiple times in a row. That's the true power of what we're doing here with the 10-Week Bible, simply reading the Bible a lot. Let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you speak to us? Would you touch us with your heart for our eternal future? Would you give us information that will change our lives forever from your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we want to do a recap of Revelation. We're doing that all week. And I'm doing this because I wanted to add just a little bit of extra information that we didn't have time during the 10 weeks that we went through Revelation. And what I want to discuss today is the issue of judgment and justice in the book of Revelation. One of the main themes that we see in the book is that God is holy, true, and righteous. And it's a refrain that's repeated multiple times throughout the book of Revelation. And it's very powerful. It's something that we have to come to terms with, because as we're reading it, we can become very offended at what's going on, because we don't have context. And it's really impossible for us to gain context just by reading and studying this book. And what I mean by that is we have to understand what people are going through. We have to understand their plight. We have to understand exactly the struggle that they're going through. And we can't manufacture that. We can't create that for ourselves. We have to trust that what the Lord is doing is true, that what he's telling us is true. And what that amounts to is that things are really bad. Things on the earth are really bad. So bad that even Jesus says that there's never been a time like it in human history. It's unrivaled before and after. There's never going to be anything like that. And that's coming from the God who flooded the earth in the days of Noah because of the wickedness, because of the extreme wickedness in the days of Noah. He's saying there's never going to be a time like this. It's unrivaled in human history. It's very difficult for us to wrap our minds around that. Now, if we're in a place where there is intense persecution, where people are, our friends and family are being martyred for the sake of the name of Jesus, then it's a little bit easier for us to wrap our minds around this. I heard a story by a missionary a few weeks ago, and it was a man who was talking to a man who lived in Syria under the thumb of ISIS. He was a believer. He was an elderly believer, and his son had been a believer and evangelist in this portion of Syria. And as ISIS was covering the land, he said, you know, that of course ISIS was very much against the Christians, and they warned them, you can get out or you can become slaves or you can die for not converting. And the son refused, and he continued evangelizing. And one day the old man said that a knock was at his door, and he went and he opened it. And there was a member of ISIS holding this man's son's head in his hand. And he threw it at the old man and said, "This is what we do with you." And he walked away. And as this man just reeled from the pain of that moment, he said, "My son would have dedicated his life to the Lord, to telling other people about it, and now I will too." So it's very difficult to understand the suffering that goes on in the book of Revelation unless you're going through it now. And you can't create that for yourself. It has to come to you. You wouldn't want to create it for yourself. No one would ask for this on themselves. And so what it amounts to is this, you know, we look as Americans, as Westerns, we look at ISIS and we say, let's kill them all. I mean, there's so much sentiment for let's just nuke them. Let's just get rid of them. Let's send people over there and let's rid the earth of these monsters. Yet people get offended by what happens in the book of Revelation. And I'm not saying everyone feels that way about ISIS, but there's a very large sentiment amongst Americans that we should just destroy them. But when people read the book of Revelation, they get offended by what's going on because they can't put into context what's actually happening in the book of Revelation. The people, the wickedness that's going on in the book of Revelation, it's going to make ISIS look like school children. It's going to make them look like pansies, weaklings. The wickedness that's going to be going on is going to be so unthinkable. It'll be so other than anything anyone has ever experienced. It will make ISIS, as bad as they are, look like a bunch of pansies. That's how bad it's going to be. And that's why it's difficult for us to wrap our minds around it. And that's one of the aspects of this book. This is what we have to understand, that yes, God is good. He's true and righteous. He's holy and just. We have to understand that. We have to believe that. We have to make that part of what we believe about God. Because as we read this, we're likely to get offended because it's very difficult for us to understand this. I guarantee you that every believer suffering the kind of persecution that I just described, they're going to be crying out to the Lord for justice. There's a tension in believers right now that, yes, we want justice. We want them to be forgiven. We want these wicked men. We want them to know and come to Jesus. But at the same time, we want justice. And that tension, that puts us in a horrible place because we do. The closer we grow to the Lord, the more we want even the most wicked and vile people on planet Earth to come to know God. But at the same time, we're angry, we're hurt, we're saddened by loss when people do these kinds of things, and we want justice. And the only place to get that, because if we take it for ourselves, it destroys us. If we try and get that justice for ourselves, it will devour us and destroy us. So the only place we can go is to Jesus and say, how long until you bring us vengeance like you promised? If we try and get it for ourselves, it will destroy us. But the desire for it is still in us, that pain and that hurt of being tortured, persecuted, killed, our family members killed. That pain is real and it's valid. And so that tension should bring us to the Lord to say, I will trust that you will vindicate me. You will vindicate us, Lord. One of the things that I find most interesting about Revelation is it reveals who we are. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:7 that before the lawless one, in the end times, there will be an increase in lawlessness. But before the lawless one is revealed, the Antichrist, in other words, the restrainer must be taken away. Basically, right now, the Holy Spirit is not indwelling non-believers, but the Holy Spirit is actually restraining non-believers. For us, as believers, the Holy Spirit empowers us. He doesn't restrain us. He empowers us to live free from sin. And that's the freedom that we enjoy. It's not the freedom in Jesus' blood. It's not the freedom to get as close to the edge of the cliff of sin before walking off. It's the freedom to turn away and walk away from sin. It's the freedom to choose not to sin. It's the freedom to love God. Non-believers don't have that freedom. What they have, though, is they have the restrainer holding them back from doing all of the wickedness that's in their heart, that's in all of our hearts. The wickedness that is within us, we have no idea how deep it is. We have no idea how all-encompassing it is. And the reason is because the Holy Spirit is restraining non-believers. He's empowering believers, and he's restraining non-believers from doing every wicked thing in their heart. And what we see in the book of Revelation, what we see in the end times, is that people will be given over to do every bit of wickedness that's within them. It will shock even themselves how wicked they can be. It will shock everyone. But the truth is we are just that wicked now. There's nothing different about people in the end times as now. What's different is the Holy Spirit will stop holding them back, and they will do every bit of wickedness that their heart desires. Right now, even right now, ISIS is being restrained by the Holy Spirit from doing the full measure of the wickedness that's in their heart. I have to believe when you harden your heart and harden your heart to the Lord over time, that restraint is gradually released, but still the Holy Spirit is still restraining to some extent. Even ISIS, even the most wicked men on planet Earth, the restrainer, the Holy Spirit is still there. Imagine a world where the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is taken away and is no longer doing that for men and women. The wickedness will be off the charts. And what that tells us is there is an offense that happens at God because we don't believe that we're that bad. Men and women say, I'm not as bad. We self-justify ourselves by looking at someone else and saying, I'm not as bad as them. I've never killed. I've never abused. I've never done those things. But the truth is, you are just as bad as those other people. And the only reason you haven't done those things, the only reason you haven't done every manner of wickedness you can imagine, is because the Holy Spirit restrains you, or as a believer, empowers you. But as an unbeliever, the offense against God is, I'm not that bad. I'm going to do more good than bad in my life. That's the thought that people have, is that God will just let them into heaven if they do more good than bad. But the truth is, the only reason they're not doing the bad is because the Holy Spirit is restraining them. That's why Jesus focused on the heart when he dealt with the Pharisees in his time on earth. He's like, you don't understand how bad you are. You think that you're obeying the law. You think that you're honoring me by what you do, but I see your heart. And the only reason you don't do these things is because my Holy Spirit is restraining you. Otherwise, you would do every wicked thing that you think you're innocent of. So we look at our heart. We examine our heart and we realize that, yes, without the Holy Spirit, without God's involvement, believer or unbeliever, we would do every wicked thing imaginable. That's who we are. And that's what's going to happen in the end times. The Holy Spirit, the restrainer, will be taken away and evil will pervade the earth. Then we understand that God's judgments are true and righteous. When we understand how bad people have grown, the level of wickedness, we're talking abuse, murder, torture, every awful thing imaginable, then we can understand that God's judgments are true and righteous, that what he is doing is just. What is happening in the book of Revelation is justice. It's not him just being angry with the earth and smiting them and holding people over hell on a rotten stick. I love that imagery. That's not who God is. God is not angry at people for no reason. He's not this killjoy. He's grieved by the wickedness that's being borne out by men and women on planet earth. And he will come and he will bring justice for his people. Every bit of this is God bringing justice on behalf of his people who have been tortured, abused, and martyred. That's what the justice is. That's what the Lord is doing here. But again, it's so difficult for us to see that, so we have to trust him. We have to trust that, yes, he is true and righteous, and all these things are just, even though we can't imagine how they could be just right now. There are people on earth right now that can imagine God being just in the things that he does in Revelation. But for most of us, for most people throughout history, it's very difficult for us to imagine God being just in the things he does. But all of heaven says, yes, you are just. You are true and righteous because we see what's going on. That's what we have to see when we look at the book of Revelation. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm so glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back next time with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.